Interview with Reynaldo Robledo Sr. of Robledo Family Winery. Interviewed February 17, 2005, for the Sonoma County Museum by Sue Doherty for an exhibition entitled Secrets, Shadows, and Myths, 150 Years of Sonoma Stories. The Sonoma County Museum celebrates its 20th anniversary in March 2005 with an exhibition that delves into the museum's permanent collection of photographs and oral histories, along with selected art and artifacts, to reveal Sonoma stories, both well-known and unknown. Reynaldo Robledo shares with us his tale of making the American dream come true. Reynaldo became the first Mexican migrant vineyard worker in the United States to establish his own tasting room and winery. Okay, Reynaldo, tell us your name and when you were born and where you grew up.
Yes, my name is Reynaldo Robledo, and I born in Mexico, Zamora, Michoacán, Mexico. I come here to the United States when I have 16 years old.
16. And you left a large family to come by yourself?
I come with my father, and later on I bring one by one the rest of my brothers and sisters.
Did you work with your father in the fields? Did you first come as a working
yes.
in the vineyards?
Yes, my father, I worked with my father only 2 years, 1968 and 1969.
Were there very many vineyards in the county then? Did you come directly to Sonoma County?
No, I come straight to Calistoga, and I started in the vineyards there. In
Napa County. Yeah.
In Napa County, and my fruit shop is pruning.
Mm. That's hard work. So what was a typical day like?
Well, there when I come is by 35 degrees in the mornings, and it's very, very difficult for me the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very cold, and I don't expect that cold when I come here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mexico is very tropical weather.
And were you living on the property
That's
that
correct.
You work at? Did you have good housing?
I mean, in here, I live in a labor camp.
Uh-huh.
And I live, the labor camp no have insulation, no have anything. The stove is wood stove when I stay there.
How are conditions now in the vineyards for the laborers?
Well, changed a lot. Changed a lot. You know, in that time when I come, it's not raining at all because nobody have the space. Not too many people have space.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think it's a lot of raining and much different.
Mm-hmm.
And better results.
And better pay and
yes.
benefits? Or
yes, when I started working in 68, I make $1.10 an hour. And in Sundays, they pay me overtime because I'm making $1.50. And I work in every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And every day. Only the days get raining. I don't work, but I try to be busy in those days.
You started saving your money right away, or did you send money home?
No. I come in 68, I helped to my family because I have 13 brothers, and I helped to my father, my mother, and my brothers, and everybody there.
What was the longest you ever worked in the fields? And
Well, you know, when I started in 68, I worked in at least 10 hours every day. And when I started to have more responsibilities, I work in long hours. I never look in my watch what time I need to go home. Depends on the climate, or depends what I do. One time, I remember in harvest, I work 29 straight hours.
Were there a lot of you working together?
Well, in that time I have responsibilities, and I replace the people three times. I have three chefs. Mm-hmm. I continue in the work.
So you were the foreman at this time?
Yes.
And so when did you become foreman? How long were you working in the fields before you actually?
Three months later, when I come here, I start have responsibilities, and I boss my father.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
And my uncles and my cousins and other people.
Did you speak English?
No, I speak English for my boss when he speaks Spanish, and he communicate with me in Spanish. Oh. And I follow him and a lot of things in the work. Mm-hmm. When everybody go home, I stay in my own time and learning the next step. Every step I learning in my own, almost.
Did you, were you responsible at all for helping get better wages through the years here?
Yes. Also, I help a lot with the training, and you know the things I help now in a few years ago. By I say 25 years ago, I start training a lot of people for I have classes with them, and I say, see, you wanna. Making more money, you need to learn, and I train in them, and now I have people that responsible for a few companies.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic!
And still that people coming and asking me a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. I train in them for budgets, for anything. Any questions they have. Mm-hmm. I learn in the cost, and everything is important for the vineyards.
Mm-hmm. So financial, as well as the pruning techniques, everything to do with the cultivation of the grape. You're an expert at that.
The pruning and the grafting. You know, the pruning making me think, when I prune the first plant and I start planting, and I say, why I live in two canes of this plant, and why I live in three canes of this plant? And you know, pretty soon I study my for learning the pruning, and I find it out that you can control a plant, and you know how many tons you can have per acre exactly. Mm-hmm. See, you pruning the plants correctly. Mm-hmm. And grafting, you know, I went to France to teach people, the French people.
Really?
And the grafting techniques.
When was this?
In 82.
Oh my gosh.
I think I am the first Mexican go to France, and because everybody have surprise when see the Mexican there in France.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, you've really distinguished yourself in so many ways. So you are the first Mexican migrant farm worker in the United States to have established his own tasting room and winery.
Well, the marshal here in Sonoma, he gave me a recognition for that day. Uh-huh. He say, you the first Mexican in California.
Uh-huh. That's fantastic.
And that day I cry.
Yeah, that's a proud woman. Someday you're gonna have a library named after you. I'm sure of it. Well, so how did you start managing? You started your own managing company, vineyard management?
Yes, I started my business for management other people in 94. Mm-hmm. 94, I started with a couple hundred acres and go up to 700 acres, plus my own.
And how many is that?
You know, my first ranch I buy for my own, I buy in 84. Mm-hmm. And I name it Rancho Rincón. Rancho Rincón is my initials, as uh-huh. Reynaldo Robledo. But that ranch, historical, the name is Rancho Rincón for when the General Vallejo, that name in that time, uh-huh. 150 years ago.
Uh-huh. What does Rincón mean?
Rincón is a small corner.
Oh, a small kernel.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. And Robledo is like an oak tree?
Robledo is the oak tree.
Uh-huh. Strong. Like strong. You and your family.
It's true. And you know, and I investigated my my root, where Robledo come from, mm-hmm. and I find it out get the come from Spain, and this one town called Robledo, and uh-huh. everybody there the name is Robledo.
And you've been there? You have to take your entire family.
I need to go there, but you know, I find it out. I have friends. And they helped me investigate it.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. So, how would you be able to have such a large business and a successful one if it weren't for a large family? How many children do you have?
Well, I have nine, and I have seven sons and two daughters. And everybody work helps in the business. Everybody work for me. And I think I think forever they want to work together, because my sons and my daughters design a special label for me when my wife and I married mm-hmm. in 1970, mm-hmm. and after that. The second label is everybody in the family, the mother, the father, and the two daughters and the seven brothers. After that, go for the first one to the last one, every year. One.
And your wife, tell me about your wife. Her name?
Maria. Yes, Robledo.
And so you were married in 1970?
Yes.
And so you've been at this together the whole time.
Yes.
So this was a lot of Maria's doing too.
Yes, she. I dedicated to her one ranch. I named in one ranch, and the Chardonnay coming for that ranch, and the name is Rancho Maria. And also the port, I have the label when she is, the label is the design of the label is she's special for the 16 years old.
Oh, anniversary.
Yeah. Correction, birthday.
Any stories you want to share that are special?
Well,
all these are special stories, but I mean, anything else that comes to your mind?
Well, it's special. I don't have too many special. The only thing I have is work and work. You know, my for have my family together all the time. That is part to the things I wanted to do. When they go to school and come home, they help in the vineyards. Mm-hmm. Always help in the vineyards, and that's why I think they working with me together. Because they know since when they have 7 years old to now.
Yeah. And they know hard work pays off.
Yes.
Very, very few people recognize a dream such as this. This is the beyond the standard American dream of just a home.
Yes, I have Vanessa represented the winery. She is the president of the winery. Mm-hmm. And Genaro is the one represent Robledo Vineyards. Is the ones I own. And I own by over 200 acres. And Everardo represents Robledo Vineyard Management. Mm-hmm. And you know, everybody have their own responsibilities.
And those are large responsibilities.
Yes.
Yes. So one man provided all this work for his family that'll last into generations to come. And then how many do you employ?
With the office in the field right now is the 30 to 40 people. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes it's at least the 100, 110 in harvest.
So you have about 7 varietals that you work with?
Yes, I have. I have Sauvignon Blanc in Lake County. And I have Encarneros Appellation, I have the Chardonnay, the Pinot Noir, and the Merlot. And in Napa, I have the Syrah, the Cabernet, and also Lake County, I forget, I have the Barbera.
Are there any community members in the counties that have been really helpful or influential to you?
Well, I have a lot of people who always help me, and you know, I help them and work both ways.
You must have a lot of friends.
I have a lot.
Yeah.
I have a lot. I have. You know, one of the very good families in here in Sonoma County is San Giacomo family. It's Angelo San Giacomo and his brothers, his sons, and everybody there. They is my neighbors, and they always try to help, always try to whatever I need, they ask me.
That's great. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you decided to make this your home, this county. It's really fantastic.
Well, you know, Sonoma County have good wines. Is the things I learned in Sonoma have good wines. Every wine I have in Sonoma is good. No.
Did you plant all your vineyards, or were they already planted? Or
I planted every one.
Oh my gosh!
And also I have the combination with the rootstock, the soil, and the clone of the grape. And you know, my wines win a gold medals, and you know, Sauvignon Blanc there. I compete with 166 wineries, and I am have the gold medal. And California Fair, I have double gold medal for my Chardonnay. And the other one I have by 90 plus points is in the Merlot. And also my Pinot went gold medal in New York. And the other ones too have good results.
Yeah, I can't wait to taste them.
Yes, yes.
So, have you been bothered by the Floroxa? Is that how you say it?
The Philospora, when I work for other companies, they affect me, and I have only one ranch. The first ranch I planted is the one is planting with the XR, and that is the one affected with Philospora. For I replace everyone. I replace them already.
Uh-huh. Are there ever root resistant stocks?
Yes, you know, right now is different ones, and you know, is by more the 30 kinds plus. And I need to decide what is the best for that climate, that soil, mm-hmm. and the clone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, that is the important thing in the grape. Select the rootstocks with the soil, the type of the soil, the climate, and you clone you want to use. Because for example, a Chardonnay, hundreds kinds of Chardonnay, mm-hmm. and you need to pick out one. Mm-hmm. What is the best?
So you just learned this all through the years by observing. You're just observing.
Well,
what seemed to work?
Yes, you know, I went to a lot of meetings. I went to also to Davis.
Oh.
And. Also, I donate my time with for teaching people for other wineries, and Davis represent that, and I help. I donate my time, and the university, I think they charge by $40 a piece, but I donate my time year by year in the past. And you know, talking to people and stuff like that, and when you want to learn, you need to work. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is the things I always work, and I never stop. And I continue doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the weekends, you know, still I need to do something on the weekend. Because I can stay home.
This has been quite a wonderful conversation. I think everybody in the county is going to be thrilled to be able to hear this story and be inspired for years to come, generations. It'll always be in the museum, and like I say, I think you're going to have a library named after you. It's been a pleasure. Anything else you want to say?
You know, the things I want to say, I think the reason I like to teach people is because see, people wanted to work, wanted to do something, they can do it. Especially now when it's good pay. It's not the same as 37 years ago. I think now, you know, I observe a lot of people now. Before they start working, they say, how much you pay me? When I start, I work, and they put me the value of my time, because, you know, see I work more, they pay me more. See, I work less, I think they pay me less. Mm-hmm. And this is the things very important now, know the work before you asking for how much you pay me.
That's smart, that's good advice. But how much do they pay? How much are they vineyard workers getting these days?
Well, this depends what kind of experience you have.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I have in here people with good pay. Sometimes people in here, some people I have here could work for me for a long time. They have the $17 an hour, and you know, they know the work. They is my second eyes and yeah. things like that. And you know that they do it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people could do to could work and very good for you. I don't care how much you were paid. You content with the work, and this is the things that's important for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, making people happy, and people, the people who pay the money need to be happy too.
Yeah.
You know, I have temporarily to, I have people who pay $22 an hour.
So good.
And. You know, they do the grafting, they do the budding for me. When I do the budding, in that days, I making $375 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's 22.
Yeah.
And it's big difference. But you know, and still I saving money in that time.
Yeah.
I saving good money.
Sure. You must have been saving all your money.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, you know, I don't have too many things to